It was good to be back in the wilderness again, where everything seems at peace. I was alone, just me and the animals. It was a great feeling, free once more to plan and do as I pleased. Beyond was all around me. My dream was a dream no longer. I suppose I was here because this was something I had to do. Not just dream about it, but do it. I suppose, too, I was here to test myself. Not that I had never done it before, but this time it was to be a more thorough and lasting examination. What was I capable of that I didn't know yet? Could I truly enjoy my own company for an entire year? And was I equal to everything this wild land could throw at me? I had seen its moods in late spring, summer, and early fall, but what about the winter? Would I love the isolation then, with its bone-stabbing cold, its ghostly silence? At age 51, I intended to find out. Another 100 yards, and I broke out of the brush to my pile of cabin logs I had cut last July. I sat down and leaned against them, and while I chewed on a chunk of smoked salmon, my eyes wandered over the peeled logs. That had been a big job last summer. Hard work, but I enjoyed it. It was cool in the timber, and there were mornings I could see my breath. I had harvested the logs from a stand of spruce less than 300 yards from where they were now piled. The logs were a great deal lighter now than they were then, and could be handled easily enough.
It was in the late spring of 1968 that Dick Prenicke decided to leave civilization behind to live in a pristine land yet unchanged by man, and to roam a wilderness through which few other humans have passed. While carving out a new life in this remote valley known as Twin Lakes, Dick would not only keep daily journals, but would film his Alaskan odyssey with the help of a tripod-mounted camera.
It was time to be moving on. I was anxious to get to Spike's cabin to see if it was the way I had left it last September. About 500 yards more through the spruce and the willow brush, and there it was, its weather-grade moose antlers spreading just below the peak of the roof, a tin can on its stovepipe, and its windows were boarded up. The cabin had everything needed to set up housekeeping until my own cabin was completed. A good stove, two bunks, and a roof that didn't leak. It's May 22nd, up with the sun at 4 o'clock to watch the sunrise and the sight of the awakening land. It seems a shame for eyes to be shut when such things are going on, especially in this big country. I don't want to miss anything. Today, I would hike the 5 miles down to the lower lake to pack my third and last load of gear, my tools with which to build my cabin. This time, with the binoculars along, I would have an excuse to stop now and then and glass the slopes for game. From this high vantage point, the hills seemed to come alive with animals. I suddenly didn't feel so alone anymore. almost noon before I got back to the cabin. The rest of the day I devoted to my tools. I carved a mallet head out of a spruce chunk, augured a hole in it, and fitted a handle to it. This would be a useful pounding tool, and I hadn't had to pack it in either. The same with the handles I made for the wood augers, the wide-bladed chisel, and the files. Much easier to pack without the handles already fitted to them. Hope Creek has cut a big opening into the lake ice. Was it too early to catch a fish? I took the casting rod along to find out. It didn't take long. After several casts, it happened with the suddenness of a broken shoelace. I slid the 19-inch trout onto the stones. Fish with my beans tonight. It's May 25th. Breakup is not the spectacular sight it was last year. A big wind would have cleared the thin ice out yesterday. As I loaded tools on the packboard this morning, the rotted ice began to flow past in quiet exit. When you have miles and miles of lakefront and picture views to consider, it's difficult to select a building site. The more a man looks, the fussier he gets. I cleared the brush and hauled up beach gravel and spread it to a depth of several inches over an area roughly 20 feet by 20 feet. I felt I had made the best possible choice. It would be 11 feet by 15 feet. Its front door would face northwest, and the big window would look down to the lake. A pile of logs. Which ones to start with? To make a notch fit properly, you can't rush it. Make several saw cuts an inch or two apart, almost down to the pencil line, and whack out the chunks with an axe until the notch is roughly formed. Then comes the finish work, a careful custom fit. I have just the tool for the job. One log in particular required considerable hewing to straighten it. I must say white spruce works up nicely with an axe and draw knife. Enough for this evening. The job has begun. Tomorrow should see more working and less figuring. It's May 29th. Only a few chunks of ice floating in the lake this morning. By noon, there was no ice to be seen. It was good to see the lake in motion again, and it was even better to slip the canoe into the water and paddle to work for a change. I glided silently along over a different pathway. The cabin is growing. 28 logs are in place. 44 should do it, except for the gable ends and the roof logs. It really looks a mess to see the butts extending way beyond the corners. But I will trim them off later. You can't rush it. I don't want these logs looking as though a Boy Scout was turned loose on them with a dull hatchet. I was making good progress today when I heard a plane. It was Babe Aldrin. I watched the plane glide in for a perfect landing on the calm lake. Plenty of groceries this time, and among the supplies, rhubarb plants. They should be put in the ground right away. I found the frost about 4 or 5 inches down. I planted 15 hills of potatoes, tucked in some onion sets, and put in a few rows of peas, carrots, beets, and rutabagas. Not much of a garden by Iowa standards, but it would tell me what I wanted to find out. Finally, back to the cabin building. I'm a better builder than I am a farmer anyway. 38 logs are in place, and I'm almost ready for the eave logs. I cut the openings for the big window, the two smaller ones, and the opening for the door. Five logs were very special. These were the 20-footers, which along with the gable ends would be the backbone of my roof. Two would be eave logs, two would be purlin logs, and the last and the straightest would be the ridge log. As it stands now, the cabin looks as though logs are sticking out all over it, like the quills of a riled porcupine. I've made good progress today. My cabin logs have magically changed form in the 10 days since I cut the first notch. It's June 7th, and I do believe the growing season is at hand. The buckbrush and willows are leafing out fast now. The rhubarb is growing, and I notice my onion sets are spiking up through the earth. Those window frames have been on my mind. Decided to do something about it. First, I built a sawhorse workbench, then selected straight grain sections of logs cut from the windows. With a thin-bladed wide chisel, I cut deep along the line on each side. Worked fine. I smoothed the split sides with the draw knife. The result was a real nice board, so I continued to fashion others. Put them in place and nailed them in. I finished the day cleaning the litter of wood chips. I mounted them in front of the door, Beaver Lodge style. Quite a pile for 11 days' work. Enough to impress that beaver. It's June 9th. Today would be a day away from the job of building. I'll look for the pole timber for the roof up lake. After beaching the canoe, I walked through the timber, crossing and recrossing the creek that had its beginnings in the far-off snows. Good piles were not as plentiful as I figured, and I worked steadily to get 48 out and back to the beach by noon. The mosquitoes were out in force. To peel the poles, I made a tripod of short sticks on which to rest one end and put the draw knife to work. I rafted them up and moved them down the lake to my beach. A good pile, but I doubt there will be enough. Today I would secure the roof poles over the gables. A cabin roof takes time. Soon I will be ready to saw the ends and fill the slots between the pole butts under the eaves. It's June 18th. Everything looks as though it had a bath last night. Must have been a good shower, and I never even heard it. A check on the livestock this morning before going down to the roof job. A few caribou cows and their calves, just up country from Low Pass Creek. Nothing else in sight. Should be a bear passing through one of these days. These fillers should be called squirrel frustrators. Give those characters an entrance, and they can ruin a cabin. I finished filling the slots between the rough poles and caulk joints with oakum. I chinked around the blocks on the outside. Any place I could get a table knife blade in got oakum. Next was a job I had been thinking about, a countertop. Some window ledges and some shelves. I decided ripping them with a rip saw was the answer. I could go down the middle of a log 5 inches in diameter and 42 inches long in 15 minutes. Couldn't complain about that. I think I have sawed nearly everything that I need. Now to trim the edges and start building. I need a fish for supper, so I took the fly rod down to Hope Creek. The grayling were feeding greedily, fins and tails swirling all over the surface. A fish snapped the fly from the leader the very first cast, a handsome grayling, 17 1/4 inches long, enough for my needs. It's July 2nd. After a peaceful trip down lake, I located 10 seasoned spruce stumps. I was anxious to try making hinges for the door. I worked the wood to shape with an axe and draw knife. Now to saw the fork in the butt end. Forty-5 minutes and I had half my hinge made. Not bad. I put some finishing touches on the door planks I made Sunday. Now the door is ready to put together. Too many men work on parts of things. Doing a job to completion satisfies me. My roof poles are still too wet for the tar paper, so I will work on my double-deck bunk. Four posts with two rails on each side and two large and two small on each end. I augured 1.5-inch holes and trimmed the rail poles to fit. Now, when I get some glue, I will knock it apart and glue it back together. With a few leftover poles, I built myself a chair and a bench. It's June 27th. A good rain it was last night. Today would be a pole hunting day. I need about 30 to make the slats for my bunks. After peeling the poles, the wind came up strong. It brought rain and it furrowed the lake as rough as a cob. This lake can really change its personality in a hurry, like a woman, all smiles 1 minute and dancing a temper tantrum the next. Tomorrow is Sunday. I will go someplace. Next morning, I loaded my camera gear and started up the trail to the hump. It was good to take a break away from the cabin. As I topped a ridge along a dry wash, a wolf came up from the other side, 30 or 40 paces away. Then in a wink, she was gone. The wolves had made a kill. All that was left of the young caribou was a backbone and rib cage. The skin was badly torn and pulled down over the front legs, as you would peel back a rubber glove. It looks like the wolves aren't the only problem the caribous have. What was a bull caribou doing down there where not a breath of air was stirring? Insects were whirling around me like sawdust blown from a power saw. The bull also was having a battle with the tiny fiends, stomping and shaking, twisting and turning, and shivering his hide. He would lie down and get back up again. No rest at all. Why doesn't he climb to a breeze or take a swim? Anything but stand and fight something you can't hope to kill or scare away. With a yell and a waving of arms, I spooked him. He threw his antlers back and off he clattered over the stones and up the creek. Good luck to you, old boy. It's July 3rd, a cool, damp morning with fog coming off the slope like the smoke from many campfires. No wind now, so it's a perfect day for the tar paper job. I lap the felt paper 4 to 5 inches. I need just one more strip, 20 feet long. I must admit the cabin looks better already with the start of a roof. Next, I unrolled the polyethylene and tucked the edges to get at least 4 thicknesses to tack through, and I fastened her down. Next, I built a carrying rack for the moss. I filed the blade of my round point shovel, and I was ready for the moss cutting detail. I cut out rectangles about 18 inches by 36 inches and 8 inches thick. 2 chunks double-decked on the rack made a good load. Once around the edge of the roof, and the cabin took on a new look. I feel guilty about the tar paper and the polyethylene because they're not true wilderness cabin materials. But I am convinced they will do a better job of keeping the weather out. It seems I have cleared 2 acres of moss, and still the roof isn't covered. A beautiful, still evening. The cabin is beginning to look as though it belongs. This morning I cut, hauled, and peeled 11 logs by noon. I would spend the day on the construction of the John, an important consideration in any new home. Materials to finish the front required lots of time, ripping boards from the last of my cabin logs. It was 12 o'clock when I finished the last cut. 4 boards would make the door, and the 5th would make cleats to hold it together. I made the hinges from a gas can, and they looked almost store-bought. And then the final touch, saw out the crescent, and the John was done. July 23rd, a day to hang the door. I put the door into the opening and fastened the top and bottom hinges. I checked and rechecked my hinges to see that they were in line. I pulled the hinge pins, set the door on the edge, and sawed it nearly through for a Dutch door, which I intended it to be. I daubed on some glue and nailed it fast. Door works quiet and easy, with all 4 hinges secure. Not perfect, but plenty close for rural work. I must devise a latch for it, not just hooks like a barn door. All I needed was a lock. I would like to see a bear try to figure this thing out. But I suppose he would just solve the problem by wiping the door clean from the wooden hinges. After finishing the latch, I went blueberrying up on the Calgill bench. I found a good patch. I fear the blueberries really took a nipping with a heavy frost not so long ago. I find some berries big and healthy, but many are small and shriveled. When my can was nearly full, I noticed a movement across the creek, something yellow and brown. A big bear, not 50 yards away. I think I've picked the wrong blueberry patch. Lucky for me and him, he didn't like my smell. July 31st, a tin bending day. Made a water bucket, a wash pan, a dish pan, a flour pan, and storage cans. My cabin kitchen is shaping up. I needed a big wooden spoon to dip hot cake batter onto the griddle. 1 spoonful, 1 hot cake. In the woodpile, I found scraps of stump wood that looked suitable. It took me no more than an hour to turn out a good-looking spoon. I must make a wooden bowl or two later on. Today is the big day. I will load all my remaining gear into the canoe and paddle down to my new home. The lake is dead calm. A perfect day for moving. Everything found its place, and there was lots of room for everything. Not a cluttered look at all. 5 inches of foam rubber on my new bunk will make it just about right. I can hear Hope Creek real plain. That will be a pleasant sound to go to sleep by. And the view from my window isn't too bad either. Best sleep in a long time. The sound of the waves lapping the gravel beach and the never-ending rustle of Hope Creek. No better sleeping pill. The woodpile needs attention. I must drop a few spruce snags and buck them into the sections. Dry standing timber makes the best firewood. There is a rhythm to the saw as its teeth eat back and forth into the deepening cut. But I must admit, I enjoy the splitting more. I heard a plane. It was Babe, at last with supplies. He had brought in some fresh groceries that needed refrigeration. I had dug down a foot into the moss just yesterday and found frost, and lined the hole with a gas can box. The thermometer in my cooler box under the moss reads 40 degrees, and here it is close to 80 degrees today. While cultivating the garden, I rolled out a few potatoes that looked like walnuts. Not record breakers for size, but they had real smooth skins. The crops to grow at Twin Lakes are potatoes, rhubarb, lettuce, onions, and radishes. My green onions look pretty respectable. I am getting hungry for a fish. After many casts at the mouth of the Hope Creek, I was onto one. I worked him in easy, for I was fish hungry and I didn't want to lose this lake trout. I could see him browning in the pan as I dressed him out, and I left his entrails for the birds. Fried potatoes, onions, and fish. You can't beat that. Time to take a break away from the cabin. I would go up high today. There were many bands of sheep, ewes, and lambs scattered here and there. I spotted 6 big rams on Black Mountain. 2 had better than a full curl. A man could lose himself up here. One bad step and I would keep right on going down the mountain. But risk now and then is good for a man. One misstep here, and a man would have to settle with the Lord right here on the mountain. Close at hand, the mosses and grasses were full of tiny flowers. It is another world of beauty. The more I see as I sit here among the rocks, the more I wonder about what I am not seeing. A flickering movement off to my left. The stones seemed to move and turned into a mother ptarmigan and her brood. The young were just as camouflaged as the mother in her plumage of summer. They were feeding, huddled like chickens as they worked along the slope. Not too far away, I spotted a mother brown bear with 2 cubs. It was probably the same family I had seen at different times during the spring. She was rounded out like a cask. Must be lots of vitamins along those slopes. It was getting late and a little chilly, and it was time to leave. I had taken a long look into the heart of the high places. It's September 6th. This would be the morning to start the fireplace. I have been packing flat stones from the bed of Hope Creek for the past few days. The sound of geese heading north made me even more anxious to get the project underway. The lake was moon still. A good morning to haul some sand, 4 loads of sand. I won't cut that hole in the back of the cabin too high until I find out how this rock laying is going to go. Today is spent on the outside. The chimney is a good 12 inches high and 9 inches thick. I hated cutting into those logs that I had fitted with such care, but it had to be done. It's September 8th. I roughed out my arch today with my axe and then finished it off with a jack plane. I set it in place and spiked it to the posts. All my stones in front of the fireplace have been collected in my travels up and down both lakes, the high country and the low. So they are representative of the entire area. Today, while it was still frosty, I cut the notch in the rear overhang of the roof to let the chimney through. My collapsible form couldn't have worked better. I'm glad I took the time to make it. By tomorrow evening, I had better be done, since the last cement sack will be empty. After 2 weeks, with fingertips worn thin and tender, I am ready for the cold weather. This new day is clear, calm, and 28 degrees. There's white frost on the brush and on the gravel of the beach. The lake is like a huge puddle, grinning with the reflections of the fall colors well along in the mountains. Today was meant for canoe travel. I would go to the lower end of the lower lake, where the Chilligadrotna River begins its long, swift journey to merge with the Mulchatna and the Nushigak. It would be a paddle of 8.5 miles, one way. It was a joy to travel the Flag Lake. I dug the paddle deep and the canoe slid along easily, furrowing ripples to either side. Near the lower end of the lake, I spotted a fine caribou bull. He was acting strangely. When I saw him wade into the lake, it dawned on me. He wanted to cross to the other side. The race was on. He would show me how fast a bull caribou can swim. I didn't want to get too close in case he turned on me. He could overturn my canoe with no trouble. Maybe he figured he couldn't get rid of me on land, so he did what he would have done with a wolf in pursuit. Take to the lake. Swim and lose the enemy. The caribou is an animal of the open country. It seems he likes to get up on the high ridges where the breeze blows to keep the insects away. Which I haven't seen much of all summer long, doesn't seem to fear me or much of anything now. After several hours of violent thrashing and destroying a patch of willow bushes, the bull was free from the blood-covered velvet-like material. It seems this time of year, the bulls lose all their good sense during the rutting season and come right out in the open, afraid of nobody. And that's when hunting season opens. And that's the end of him. I woke up this morning surprised to see 4 inches of snow on the ground. Looks like I finished my fireplace just in time. It's a frosty morning at 23 degrees, 35 degrees in my cooler box, and the lake water at 42 degrees. But the pressure is off. The fireplace is built, and what little there is yet to do can be done regardless of the weather. It's the end of September now, and if I was going to stay the winter, I would need more meat. Today was the last day of sheep season, and the sight of 4 good rams in a bunch convinced me. Although this handsome bull makes it tempting, lucky for him, I like sheep meat better than caribou. I opened and closed the season with one shot. The search for meat is over. I hated to see the big ram end like this, but I suppose he could have died a lot harder than he did. The pelt must have weighed 100 pounds when I dragged it from the water. Nearly all the blood had soaked out of the beautiful white hide. I put my smoker into operation, and I kept it going all day. Sheep liver and onions for supper. A satisfying day. September 23rd. Clear, calm, and a frosty 20 degrees. Hope Creek is beginning to ice up. I put the thermometer in the creek mouth, 31 degrees. If the creek stopped moving, it would freeze up in no time. Today, I would cut wood to build up my supply. This business of taking wood out of savings bank and putting none back has been bothering me to no end. Plenty of meat hanging from the meat tree. Plenty of wood. My cabin tight and warm. I looked forward to freeze up. It's November now, and in preparing for freeze-up, I made a sled out of spruce poles, using the spruce runners I had put in traction. The frame was held together with pegs and short pole bracings. I planed the runners smooth and painted them with a film of wood glue. With its deck poles, handles, and crossbars, it would be a vehicle in which I could push a good-sized load. Too bad I didn't have a caribou to pull it. dead calm and 0 degrees. The wind and snow died during the night. It's important that I keep my pathway to the lake open. I chipped through 3 inches of ice to fill my water bucket. In a short time, I will have a safe highway for miles in each direction. Freeze-up has arrived. It's warm inside my cabin, a toasty 40 degrees. Peppery ram stew for supper, just the way I like it. It's got everything in it but the kitchen sponge. Dead calm and 0 degrees. The lake ice has increased 1 inch in 24 hours. It took 1 hour to the gravel bank of the connecting stream. Not quite as fast as paddling. I saw big wolf tracks in the drifted snow. Then I saw many more wolf tracks. A bad sign. About 100 yards farther on, a calf dead on the bank. They had not fed on the carcass at all. I butchered it up into sections. Blood was frozen on his hind legs. Evidently, one of the wolves had hamstrung him while the rest of the pack had held his attention. Had they done it just for sport? Suddenly, the wolves lost a few points with me. I loaded up the sled and headed for home. I chopped off a chunk of moose hindquarter. The meat shattered like ice. The magpies soon took command, but there will be plenty for all. December 31st. 32 degrees below zero during the heat of the day. Today I hiked a couple of miles down the lake. I do believe winter at Twin Lakes is better than summer. I crossed a wolverine track that was headed for Low Pass Creek. I must be on the lookout for that character. On such a trip, snowshoes are a must. With no wind, I could travel all day in minus 45 degrees and be comfortable. It is warmer on top of the pass than it is along the lake. Moisture must make the difference. My face and fingers felt the bite and the cold as soon as I reached lake level. It was good to be back at the cabin. January 2nd, 45 below, a land without motion. In the dead of winter, nothing seems to move, not even a twig on the willows. The thickness of ice is now a strong 28 inches. In this very cold weather, the hole in the ice gradually closes in from the sides until it is a hole no longer. January 9th, what do you know? Here comes Babe in the tea craft on skis. He brought a burlap sack, half full of butter beans, 50 pounds of sugar, and a big box of dried apples. Also some mail. He also brought me two pairs of heavy socks that his wife Mary had knitted for me. It was just like Christmas. February 21st, plus 26 degrees. Snowing and blowing. 27 inches of snow on the level. My snow shovel works well. My paths are beginning to look like small canyons with steep white walls. I wish Brother Jake could be up here to see this. February is almost gone, and that didn't take long. Still, the snow depth stays at 27 inches at my checking station. It settles between snows. On the way back to the cabin, I cut across the Wolverine track, the one that's been eluding me for so long. And then there he was, the one with the ferocious reputation. He didn't look so ferocious to me. It's very warm in the sun, but cool in the shadow of the mountain as I snowshoed back to the cabin. The end of March. The sun was warm and the eaves dripped. I do believe the days of snow and ice are numbered. On one of my trips, I had noticed a huge burl on a dead spruce tree. Today, I would go back and salvage it. I slabbed it with a 4-inch cut next to the tree. The cap would be about 7 inches deep, and perhaps from that I would carve a bowl. Two slabs on the packboard, and in for lunch. The slabs will make interesting tabletops. After lunch, I dumped the 2-pound coffee can of cranberries I had picked into a pan to cook them in their own juice. A fistful of sugar was next, followed with a shot of corn syrup. When the mixture cooled, I poured it off into empty bottles. Now those sourdough pancakes would have an elegant topping in the morning. April 22nd. It is good to see bears on the mountain again. A mother and two fine-looking cubs. Good company for a man out here. Most people would think a bear den to be a smelly place. On the contrary, I have found them to be clean and fresh, as if the bear walked in, laid down, got up and walked out. With the receding snow, the caribou are starting to show themselves again. And I'm sure the wolves are not too far behind. There are many ptarmigan in the willow flats. The roosters are full of cackle, and they are fast coming out of their winter plumage. I have made it through my first winter at Twin Lakes. With the arrival of spring, it feels good to get back to work on the projects that have been on hold. And the new cache will keep the bears and other critters out of my food supplies.
Dick Prenicke would spend the next 35 years alone in the wilderness, carefully documenting life at Twin Lakes until 1998. At the age of 82, Dick decided that the minus 50 below winters were becoming too much of a chore, and it was time to leave this one man's wilderness. Dick has since formally entrusted his homestead to the Park Service of Lake Clark National Park. His cabin will be maintained as a historic site, and he may return to stay in it at any time he wishes. And while he may not make the trip physically again, his spirit will always linger in the perfect notches of his logs.
For a copy of Alone in the Wilderness, please call this toll-free number or send check or money order to the address listed below.